I believe God has given us this word.
I believe God has given us this book.
So I can live a victorious Christian life.
Not just when I die,
but right now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. You all may be seated. Thank you very much for giving me time, giving me this time to give God's word. Thank you all very much for coming on out. We thank the First Time Business for coming out, and we believe that you will enjoy the word. If you hear the word, you will enjoy the word. Amen. We just thank you all for being a blessing to us and giving us your time and coming into this family. We thank you very much. My friend, one of my gym sisters is here. She surprised me, and I'm so happy to see her. I had my glasses on when I was on the camera, and I saw her. I had to take my glasses off to make sure that was her. But I knew my sister. That's my sister. I love her. But I'm just happy to see her here today, and I'm sure she didn't even know I was going to be up here speaking because I talk all the time at the gym. She probably didn't think I could get up here and give God's word. Everybody can give God's word. Amen. Long as you hear, long as you can hear it, you can give it. Amen. Because we're all ministers of the gospel. We're all ministers of the gospel. You don't necessarily have to be up here to minister God's word. You can minister God's word wherever you at. Because if it's in you, it'll come out you. Amen. But you got to get it in you first for it to be to come out you. Amen. A lot of times we put all kind of stuff in us, but it don't come out right. Amen. You can put all kind of good things in you and it comes out good, but you put all that mess in you, it's going to come out wrong. If you know anything about health, when you eat healthy, if you go to the bathroom, you can stay in the bathroom. But when you don't eat healthy and you go to the bathroom, you need some spray. Amen? Try it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So let's put some good stuff in us. Amen? So the good stuff will come out. Amen? And the word of God is good stuff. Amen? It's good stuff. All right, today I'm going to be talking about making a stand. Are you ready to move on? And when I'm talking about are you ready to move on, I'm talking about are you ready to move on with the things of God? Ready to move to do what God told you to do. Make a move and let stuff go behind you. And make a move and make, but people always, they use the term of sometimes you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah, you do have to be that. But how about sometimes we just have to make our mind up and move on with God. Not make your mind up and move on to do some things that you just want to do, but you want to move on with in the things of God because God told you to do these things. God may have told you to learn how to play piano. God may have told you to speak to people. God may have told you to do certain things in your life. You need to be ready to move on with the things of God, the things that He has told you to do. Sometimes we want to move on to things that we want to do, but God is not in that. But then you get upset when God don't come along. God is not like the movie called Ride Along. God ain't going to ride along. He ain't going to ride along God. God is the driver. He is the driver. You can't get God and put Him in the passenger seat and expect Him to be okay with that. You know, we need to let God drive because He is the driver. You need to stop listening to those backseat drivers that's behind you. Don't listen to them, because guess what? Most of them ain't even got a license. You need to listen to the God that is the driver. And then you listen to God and let Him drive you where He wants you to go. Then He may let you drive, because He trusts you and He know you're going to do what He said do. But you got to let Him drive initially. Nobody puts their child in front of the wheel and say, go. They got to observe them and watch what they do. And after they watch them and they learn, and they do enough to let you get behind the wheel. Because guess what? When you put your child behind the wheel, you are entrusting your child with your life. Because anything can happen. Now, I know some of y'all parents thinking about that now, aren't y'all? I bet y'all thinking about, it ain't as easy. But when you put your child in that driver's seat, you are putting your life in that child's hand. Because guess what? Most of us, 99% of us don't have a brake on our side. That's just in driving school. And even in driving school, sometimes the brake may come a little too late. So you have to trust your child in the driver's side. And just like God, God has to trust us enough to say, okay, now my daughter, my son is ready to move on. They are ready to do what I told them to do. I trust them and I know they can do it. But guess what? You got to let God drive first. And a lot of us don't want to do that. A lot of us don't want to listen. A lot of us don't want to listen. But God said, let me drive first. And when you let God drive, your faith will increase, your patience will increase, and you learn how to be obedient when you're in the passenger side. Because you have to wait patiently till it's your turn. You have to be obedient to listen to what they say, and you have to have faith to believe that they know what they're talking about. And guess what? God has all those qualities. So guess what? You need to listen to God and be obedient to do what he say do. Now let's go ahead and let's look at Abraham a little bit. Let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament puts you in the passenger side, and it shows you how to become a driver. I love the Old Testament. Let's look at Genesis, the 12th chapter. Let's look at the first verse. 12th chapter, first verse. And it reads, Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I make thy name great, and thy shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. All right, now we know that Abraham listened to God. He was a man of faith, and he did what God told him. God said, pick up everything that you own, and I want you. He said, leave your kindred. I want you to get your stuff together, and I want you to move out because I'm going to take you somewhere special. That's what God told him to do. Now, if you go on and you read verses 17, it talks about how Abram went into Egypt, and it was a famine in the land. And there's famine in the land in Egypt, but Abraham also told his wife Sarai, hey, we're going to Egypt, it's a famine in the land, but hey, this is what I know. When they look at you, they know you gorgeous. So they're going to want, the Pharaoh going to probably want you to be his wife. So because of that, I need you to say that you're my sister. Okay, so we're brothers and sisters. So if you say you're my sister, then they won't kill me. But if you say you're my wife, they probably going to kill me, but they're going to kill me because they want you. So just, you know, I pray, please tell them that I'm your brother. So you're my sister, I'm your brother. Please tell them that. So, of course, what he said came to pass, right? Sometimes you speak things on yourself, eh? Speak it on yourself. So it came to pass. Out of all them people in Egypt, how did they just glue in on her? Just like that. But sometimes you speak things on yourself and it happens, amen? Okay, look at this. So, When they saw her, of course, they saw she was gorgeous, gorgeous. So Pharaoh said, hey, I want her. So they took her to Pharaoh, and next thing you know, a plague came upon Pharaoh's house and on all of them, right? So then Pharaoh said, he gave Abraham, said, hey, man. And then he found out that's Abraham's wife. Man, why you tell me that that's your wife? Then why you tell me that was your wife? Why you said it was your sister? And look what you did. Everybody got a plague. Your God put a plague on us. Why you tell me that? So then he said, you, your family, your whole lot, everybody, get on out of here. You take your whole family, get out of here. And they all left. But the thing I'm looking at this. God told Abraham in verse 3, he told him what he said. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, I was reading verse 2. Verse 3 said, and I will bless thee out of thee and curse them that curse him, right? He said, if they mess with you, I'm going to get them. He told him that already. So why didn't Abraham believe God and say, hey, we're going to Egypt. It's a famine in the land. We're going to Egypt. That's my wife. He didn't have to worry about that because God already told him, if they mess with you, I'm going to take care of it. But he was concerned about his life. Don't get me wrong, we all should be concerned about our life. Nobody wants to get killed. Nobody wants to die. But God already told him, if anybody mess with you, I got you. I'm going to take care of it. So he still didn't trust God enough to say, that's my wife. No matter what, that's my wife. How do he know that if he told Pharaoh, this is my wife, Pharaoh might say, oh, okay, no problem, that's your wife. Do she have any sisters? He might ask him that. Because God may have changed his mind and said, don't mess with him. That's one of my children. And Pharaoh might have said, no, I don't, no, okay, you don't have, that's your wife, oh, okay, no problem, man, she's gorgeous, and backed off. But he didn't give him an opportunity to take care of him that way. He had this lie and said, that's my sister, which in turn she was his wife. So guess what? Pharaoh, his whole family got the plague because he didn't want to tell the truth. He was not there. He didn't trust God enough yet to move on and believe in his word and believe what God told him to do. He hadn't trusted him enough yet. But let's go to verse 5. Let's go to Genesis 13 chapter. Let's look at verse 5. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it. So in verse 5, as we all know from 12th chapter, when God told him to go on, told Abram to leave your family and come with me. But he also took Lot with him. We all know that. So in chapter 13, it talks about how Lot and Abraham, they were blessed. They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of stuff. They was blessed. They had a whole lot of stuff. So here we go. Let's go to verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was strife between herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled them in the land. So already, because they had so much, Lot's men and Abraham's men, they started arguing over the land because they couldn't live together. They couldn't dwell together because they had so much. But God already had told Abraham, leave your family and go this way. He didn't say, okay, Abraham, I want you and Lot to leave the rest of the family and y'all go together. He brought Lot with him. So God already knew it was going to be some problems because God was going to bless Abraham. So he had so much, but God already knew that. So because God already knew that, he just let it play out its part. He just let it play out because at this particular time, Abraham was in the driver's seat. He was driving. He was making all the decisions. He listened to God some of the way, but he didn't listen to God all of the way yet. So he was in the driver's seat. He was trying to drive. So God let him go ahead on. You drive. Go ahead on. I'm going to let you drive. So let's continue on. Verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I would take the right. If thou would take the right, then I would take the left. And Lot, listen to this, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, everything was beautiful. Even as the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as they cometh unto Zoar. Now, Lot looked at everything. He said, okay, maybe some weeds over there. Could be some that look like, that don't even look right. I don't like that. Some cactus over there. But all of this over this side It's water, it's green, it's beautiful, it's lovely. But Sodom is over there. But that's no big deal to me because I don't know. But everything else is gorgeous. Everything else is beautiful. I'm going to take this side, and Abram, you take that side. So he took, basically he took the best of the land, so he thought. Verse 11, Lot chose all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one from another. Verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, verse 14 is very important. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he told Lot, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now look at this. Open to read verse 16. And I will make thee seed as the dust of the earth, so that man can number the dust of the earth. Then shall thy seed also be numbered. So, of course, Abraham got up and he did what God told him to do. But look at this. Lot looked up. He saw Jordan. He saw it was beautiful. And it was great. So he took the best. But then God told Abraham to look up. Lot took the east. But God told Abraham to look up. He said, look southward, eastward, northward, westward. And God told him, I'm going to give it all to you. Even what Lot got, you got. It don't matter. But I'm going to tell you something. When God tell you to lift up your eyes and look at what he's going to bless you with, it is nothing that he do. But look what happened. He separated himself from Lot and did what God told him to do. Look what God gave him. He gave him 360. He gave him 360. Lot got 60. God gave Abraham 360. He said, I'm going to give you all of it. I'm going to give you his part too. See, Lot looked at what Lot could get. He didn't realize that he was only being blessed because of the blessing and the covenant that God had with Abraham. He didn't realize that. What he should have did was say, what they used to call them back then, my Lord, I'll take whatever you give me. That's what he should have said. He would humble himself. But guess what? Because he made the choice. He chose Jordan. And what's over in Jordan? Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you don't, you need to read about it. Because it didn't last. Abraham ended up saving Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. So God said, I'll give it all to you. But when God tells you to lift up your eyes, and look at what I'm going to give you. That's a blessing. Because now Abraham was ready to let God. Abraham got out of the driver's seat. And he got in the passenger seat and let God do the driving. Because he saw that God knows. He started believing. He has to go through some other trials and tribulations on down the line. But he was in a position to be in the passenger seat to listen to what God has for him. But that's what we got to do. Sometimes we may go through some trials and tribulations. We may go through some stuff. But you got to be willing to get back in the passenger seat. Get out of the driver's seat. Get in the passenger seat and let God drive you. Because guess what? God knows where he's going. God don't know. He knows exactly. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know what? God don't need nobody. He ain't going to roll down the window like most men do. God forgive me. Roll down the window and ask for directions. God don't have to do that. God know all the directions. Amen? You need to let God drive you. Get out of the driver's seat and let God drive. Amen? All right. Now, let's go on. Let's go on. We thank God that Abraham got the revelation. Now, Because you know in Hebrews 11 and 1, you don't have to go there. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know with Abraham, it was his now faith that made him move over and be a passenger. Because the evidence of things not seen was the things that God was going to bless him. He didn't have it yet, but God had already told him he was going to bless him with it. So his faith and his trust, trusting in God. When he got to the end, Abraham, at the end of his life, to the end, not the end, but when God blessed him with that son and he almost had to sacrifice, that's when his faith was truly with God and God was able to let him be the driver because Abraham was obedient. He trusted God and he was patient. Amen? All right, let's go to Exodus. Let's look a little bit about my brother Moses. I want y'all to go to the third chapter. Let's go to the third chapter. Exodus, the third chapter. I like Moses because Moses was a man. His spirit was just, he was just like everybody else. I mean, he went through, he did stuff, but he was just like everybody else. He was just like the rest of us. So let's look at it. Exodus, third chapter. I got to move my time. Third chapter, let's go to verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit and paraphrase a lot of it. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the burn and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes for off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, and I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto of good land of large, unto the land of flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Now God tells Moses all of this. He said, I see what they're going through. I know they're going through trials and tribulation. I have heard that cry, so now I am come. I'm going to send somebody to deliver them. He's basically saying, I'm going to send you to deliver my people out of Egypt. Now, Moses, when the bush was burning, if he had kept his sight this way, while the bush is burning that way, God wouldn't have said, Moses, and he would have turned around. He wouldn't have done that. God wanted Moses to look and get intrigued and say, this is interesting. It's a bush burning, but it's not consumed. Let me see what's going on. So when he got interested, God said, okay, he's interested. So now let me talk to him. So he got his attention so he could talk to him. So God wants to send, he said, I'm going to send you to Egypt because I want you to deliver a message to Pharaoh because I want my people to become free. They're going to free, help. I want you to be the vessel to be my spokesperson to deliver my people. So Moses said, okay, all right, God. He said, okay, no problem. He said, all right. You know how most of us say, okay, all right, we'll do it. But then, you know, we think about other stuff. And that's when Moses, okay, all right, I'm okay. Then Moses said, okay. And then let's go to verse 14. And God said unto, then let's go to 13 first. And Moses said unto God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the Lord your Father has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So Moses said, okay, who are they going to say you are? He said, I am that I am. So Moses got all through this whole chapter, Moses says, okay, you sending me to talk to the people. You telling me that I'm going to tell people God told me to talk to, he said his name is I am. Then people say, oh, they ain't going to believe you. God first tell them, go talk to the elders. Go tell them that you've talked to me. So Moses kept talking to the elders, but they're not going to believe who they're not going to believe that I talked to you. I'm just keeping these flocks, and then I'm going to go back and tell the elders, the ones that's been in ministry longer than me, the ones that got all these big, gigantic churches out here, and you want me, a guy that just come to the church? I only serve you because Jeffrey is my brother, my father-in-law, and I know he serves you, so I'm really only there because of him, because I like his daughter. I married his daughter, so I'm only with you by association, but I'm not really with you. But you want me to go and tell all these people with these mega churches that I talk to you, and ain't now one of them say they talk to you, but you want me to tell them that I talk to you? So God is like, yeah, you go tell them. He said, they ain't going to believe me. So he said, okay, no problem. What you got in your hand? I got a staff in my hand. Okay, I want you to take this staff. And God showed him different things he's going to do with this staff. So when he talked to the elders would believe him because nobody can do that. Now Moses is, okay, all right, no problem. Okay, they'll believe me with the staff, but guess what? I can't talk. I'm talking to you, God. But me talking to these people in the street, that ain't going to work. I can't talk, Lord. I mean, my voice is messed up. I can't hardly talk. I can talk to you, but I can't hardly talk to them. Even in the elders, I'm talking to them, but I'm still a little shy, I'm a little shame, but I'm doing it. But you want me to go to Egypt and talk to Pharaoh? All that stuff I learned in Egypt, I don't remember hollering that stuff no more. All those special, I don't remember. I forgot all that stuff. God said, go, okay, you know what? You got another excuse for me. No problem. I'm going to send Aaron. Aaron is educated. Aaron can talk. Aaron will talk for you. But I still want you to go. So when Moses came up, that's how we do. We come up with all these excuses why we can't do what God tells us to do. We come up with all these reasons why we can't go and talk to somebody, or why we can't go and join this choir, or why we can't go and do these things. Well, Lord, I can sing, but I can't sing like they sing, or I can't do like they do. God said, I told you to do it. That's why I wanted to sing that song, Hallelujah, I Am Not Alone. When God tells you to do something, he's not going to send you by yourself. When God told Moses to go, he said, certainly, I'm going to be with you. He told Abraham, surely, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to tell you to do nothing and you're going to be by yourself. I'm going to be right with you all the way. I'm going to be with you. So when Moses coming with all these excuses, I can't talk, I can't walk, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't do all this stuff. He said, God got something for every excuse you got. He got a way for it. But we continue to give God reasons why we can't. But God got a reason why you can. But we don't want to listen to those reasons. We want to always continue why we can't. But let's get back to Moses. After Moses came up, all the excuses that he come up with, he finally got the revelation and told God, okay, I'll go. And then he told Jethro, I'm leaving, I'm going to Egypt. So he got all his children, he got his children together, he packed up his stuff, and he decided to go to Egypt to do what God had told him to do. And that's what we got to do. That's why I say, are you ready to move on and do the things of the Lord? Are you ready to listen to what God told you? Are you ready to hear what he say do and do it? Some of us out here that have a word. Some of us have ministers of the gospel. Some of us are prophets. Some of us are teachers, evangelists out here right now. But some of us are holding back because we're saying that I can't do it. No, you can't do it, but God can do it. He's not going to leave you by yourself. He's going to walk all the way. We're the ones that want to go back and do the Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson went back. God goes forward. We need to go forward in the things of God. We have to be ready to move on with God. Because guess what? God moves with you. He don't say, okay, go ahead, you can do it. I told you to do it. Go on and do it. He don't do that. God moves with you. And when he know that your faith is there, he know that you're obedient, he knows you got patience. Because sometimes when God tells you to do something and you're ready to do it and you start working in what God told you to do, it may not happen right away. You got to have the patience to wait and let it happen gradually. You got to be in it for the long haul. You got to be patient, because God is patient with us each and every day. He does not rush us. He is patient. He's going to wait. He's going to be patient with you. He's going to wait. He's going to be patient with you. But sometimes when you get totally off the rail and you just act really, really, God says, okay. And God will get somebody else to do what he has called you to do. And you, and we'll most time we'll do like this. Man, you know what? I was supposed to be doing that, but you know, I just couldn't do it. And even and people, we all suffer military minded. People always say, I could have joined the military, but I just can't handle by telling me what to do. Oh, I was gonna do this, but I can't do so and so and so. You know what? You can't take direction from authority. You can't take direction from leadership. That's why you're not close to God. That's some of the reason why you ain't close to God. Because you're always saying, I can't do it. Some of the people that has the nastiest attitude, the worst people out here, have joined the military and become good soldiers, officers, and have done well. Done well. Why? Because they learned that, guess what? Somebody outranked you. Somebody got more authority than you, and that's okay. But once you learn that and it's okay, you learn to deal with it, and it's all right. It's not that they making you no less of a man or no less of a woman. They just outrank you. And you do what you need to do to get to where they at. So we got to understand that God always gonna outrank you. But I tell you what, I like the fact that God outranks me, because I do not want to be in God's position. I don't want to be in his position. Because if I was in God's position, we wouldn't even be here today. We wouldn't be here today. But God, because of his mercy, his grace, his compassion, that's why he is who. That's why he is God. His compassion for us is just second to none. But we need to learn how to have faith, be obedient, have compassion, be patient, and wait on the Lord. And know that what he tells you he's going to do, he's going to do it. But some of us want to make God come along with us. God, I'm going to write a book. God said, I didn't tell you to write no book. But I'm going to write a book. And God, I want you to come with me. Come on, God. Come on. Come on, let's write this book. And you sitting down there trying to think of things to put in your book. Lord, help me to get these stuff. Help me to get this picture. Help me to get. God said, I didn't tell you to write a book. So why is God going to help you write a book when he didn't tell you to do that? He's going to let you. You want to write a book? You write it by yourself. I didn't tell you to write a book. I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to be the best usher that you can be. But no, you don't want to do that. You want to write a book. Do you know you can touch more people being an usher sometimes than you can do writing a book? But they don't want it. Because if their anointing is on you as an usher, God's anointing on you as an usher, you can meet and do everything he told you to do, and that anointing that you got on you will bless a lot of people. But if you are supposed, you're going to write a book because you want to write a book, because you see, you want to be on number one bestseller, but that ain't what God told you to do. You ain't going to touch nobody. You're not going to get to nobody. All you're going to do is have empty pockets, because it's going to come out your pocket. So you have to do the things that God tell you to do and be obedient and be glad in it, because God is not going to tell you to do nothing that's going to hurt you. It's going to benefit you every time. Amen? When we look at Mark 11, don't go to it. Mark 11, the 20th, Mark 4 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, will be yours. You have to believe it. You have to believe it and know that it will be yours. Amen? All right, now, I don't want y'all to go to these, but I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it because I don't want my time to run out. When we look at Jonah was with God faithfully. He served the Lord. He loved God. Now, in Jonah's chapter 1 through 4, but I'm going to paraphrase, he loved the Lord. He just loved God, and he wanted to do things that what God wanted him to do. But when God told him to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to do that because he thought that Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, didn't deserve God's mercy, didn't deserve his grace, didn't deserve his compassion. But my question to Jonah is, what makes you think that you deserve it? Did he deserve God's mercy? Did he deserve God's grace? Did he deserve God's compassion? No, none of us deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. But he didn't want to do that. He did not want to do that. So he decides to jump on the ship to go to Tarshish. But now, all this time, Jonah was in the passenger side, just riding with the Lord. Now he decides to he's going to jump in his own car and drive to Tarshish, which is the ship. He's going to drive himself. Now he wants to be the driver now. So he's in Tarshish. He's on the ship, happy, running in the ship, happy. He sleep on the ship. Now the ship going back and forth because God said, that ain't what I want you to do. So now the waves are going up and down, and now everybody is in danger on the ship because of the disobedience of Jonah. So the men say, hey, you talk to your God, and y'all start praying to your God with a small g. Y'all start praying with your gods, and y'all, we gotta get the. Then they go to Jonah. He sleep on the ship. And the guy said, hey, wake up. You need to pray to your God if something happened. And look at this. All what I think about Jonah on the ship, sleep, and all this stuff is going on. And I think about Jesus Christ was on the ship, sleep, and all this stuff was going on. But I look at the difference with Jesus on the ship, sleep, and Jonah was on the ship, sleep. I'm thinking Jesus was on the ship, sleep, because he was peace, he had comfort. He was just peaceful. So he ain't worried about stuff that was going on. So when Jesus got up, he said, what's the big deal? Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. God, Jesus said, calm. Everything calm down. Everything calm down. Peace be still. Everything was calm. But when they woke Jonah up, in a panic. Jonah said, he could say, peace be still. Everything is calm. Don't worry about it. Jonah said, oh, the reason why all this happened is my fault. He knew that he was the culprit. He can say, let it be peace. He said, I'm the culprit. It's my problem. I did it. I'm doing it. I did it. It's my fault. It's okay. We're going to throw you off the ship because we're going to get some peace. So they threw him off the ship, and he was okay with that. But God still had compassion and mercy on Jonah. He didn't drown. God just allowed a giant fish to eat him up, to swallow him. He allowed the giant fish to swallow Jonah. Sometimes we're going to have some fishes to swallow us. Sometimes we're going to have to go into a fish for a little while to get humbled. Sometimes we're going to get ate up by people. But God allowed him to get swallowed by the fish. He said, no, you're going to do what I say do. The fish jumped, got Jonah, and took him on down in the water. They swam around a little while. Jonah had a serious conversation with the Lord because he knew wasn't nobody going to deliver him out that fish but God. And he knew why. He knew who sent the fish. He knew why he was in the fish. He knew everything. So he prayed and asked God to deliver him out this fish. And, of course, God is such he's just such a good God. God could have threw Jonah right back in the water, but God had the fish to vomit him up on dry land. Dry land. First of all, God allowed a fish to eat him when they threw him overboard, so he could have drowned. Then he allowed the fish to throw him up on dry land instead of throwing him up on water so he'd drown anyway. So God showed Jonah compassion twice, probably minimal times before that, but in this, what I'm talking about, at least twice. But Jonah didn't want God to give Nineveh the same kind of compassion that God gave him. Who are we as people to not want God to bless somebody the way he has blessed us? How can you even sit there and say somebody don't deserve something? You don't know their story. You don't know what they went through. You don't know nothing about them. So how can you want God to do something for them, or don't do something for them, or do something to them? How can you say that? You didn't create nothing, just like God told Job. You didn't create no earth. You didn't create the heavens. When it said, let there be light, you turn on the light. That's what you do. When God say, let there be light, there's light. You can't create nothing. A problem, habit, gossip, and strife. That's what you create. But you want God to bless you or stop blessing somebody else. God bless people when he want to bless them. God take care of people when he want to take care of people. You can't control God. You don't drive God to the store and say, get out and get me some water, then get back in here and take it somewhere else. You don't do God like that. So who is Jonah to say, Nineveh don't need to be saved? They don't deserve you, God. They don't deserve your compassion. They don't deserve your love. They don't deserve the things that you do for them. They don't deserve that. Who is Jonah? He's nobody. But he learned quickly. When he got spit out on that dry land, he went to Nineveh and told them what God told him to tell them. He went on and told them. But he still wasn't happy about it. He still was in the driver's side. He told him, it's almost like you telling him, I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. God told me to tell you that you're going to get the job and you're going to make a lot of money. That's what God told me to tell you. Who going to receive that? But thank God that they didn't receive Jonah like that. When he came and told them, he went on and told them, and God, and they started doing better. They started doing better. But when you tell somebody, you don't want to tell somebody something, how are they going to receive something? Because you don't want them to have it, or you don't want them to receive it the right way. You don't want them to get it. So if I don't tell them right, or if I tell it don't be right. But Jonah had no choice but to tell them right. But he still did not like what he did. He still wasn't happy with the decision that God made. But God still loved Jonah. He still had compassion over Jonah. He still loved him. He still loved Jonah. So what we need to do when things happen in our life, things we may not want to do, it's not up to us. We need to get on board and do what God tells us to do. Jonah had to finally get on board and do what God told him to do. He was ready to move on, especially when he was in that fish. He definitely was ready to move on and do what God told him to do. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go ahead on and I'm going to paraphrase about Paul. When you go to Acts, look at the 22nd chapter, and you can read about Paul, verses 1 through 22. But I'm going to paraphrase most of Paul. We don't know if you go ahead and read it, but I'm going to paraphrase for you. Paul was a man of God totally, but he didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. He didn't believe in any of that. He just believed that there was just God, and then he didn't believe in the Christian movement. He didn't believe that the Christians was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't believe none of that, but he was a persecutor of the Jews because he felt that they was going against God. So Paul would go get Christians, pick them, get them, take them to jail. He persecuted them. Someone was killed, someone beaten, jailed. He did all kind of stuff to the Jews because he did not believe that they were serving. He felt that they shouldn't be served. Talking about Jesus, they should be totally focused back on God. That's what he believed. So one day, when you have people that you can't tell something, when you try to talk to them and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them about God and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them about God, and they're not hearing you, you need to just leave it alone and just pray about it and give that situation to God. Because sometimes only person going to change them, only thing that's going to make a difference in their life is God. So in this case, in this situation, only one was going to make a difference in their life, in his life, was Jesus actually talking to Paul. I know y'all have met some friends. Y'all have friends out there that y'all have said, you know what? I can't believe this person is a Christian now, because I remember when they used to do blah, 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 blah. Now they are talking about God. They're Christian. They're serving God. Only person that did that to them but God. God is the only one who can change situations. And like I said, Paul had to have a revelation on the road to Damascus. He had gone on to Damascus, he had a revelation. Jesus talked to him and said, Paul, why do thou persecute me? Why you persecute me? So Paul, next thing, Paul is blinded. He is totally blinded. So now Paul had to depend on the same people that he was out to persecute to lead him and guide him and teach him about the word of God. He had to depend on those same people. But the only person that could have talked to him and got him out of that frame of mind was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to appear to Paul because he was that dead set on getting rid of all the Jews. They're not doing right. God, God, God. But he didn't realize that Jesus came to fulfill what God has already called. He didn't realize that, but he got it. So sometimes you have to let go and let God do what he's going to do. And in this case, Paul had to let go and let God. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Be ye transferred. You have to renew your mind. So Paul had to have his mind renewed with God by the word of God. He had to get his mind renewed because he was totally focused on God doing what God said do, but in turn, he wasn't doing what God said do. So he had to get his mind renewed. And that's what happens to some of us. We have to get our mind renewed. Sometimes, like I said, we have to get back in the passenger side sometimes because some of us get off track. Some of us, you know how you have to go and get your license renewed every 4 years or 3 years? Some of us got to get our license renewed because we're not driving right no more. We want to go to the stop sign and slow up a little bit and keep on going. And that's not right. We want to come to the, we want to see that yellow light. I can make it. Boom. And just turn green, just turn red. Yeah, I knew I could make it. But that's not right. You ain't supposed to do that. We say 60, the speed limit says 60. Well, they give you 4 or 5 anyway, so I'm going to drive 64. That's not right. And I'm saying, because I do that. And that's not right. That's not right. You ain't supposed to do that. That ain't right. You know what I'm saying? That's not right. You, well, 60 is 60. It ain't 61, it ain't 62, it ain't 60. It's 60, it's 60. 75 is 75. You supposed to do, you need to go back. I bet you, other than these young kids already got their license. Some of the older folks, go back and take that test, we're going to fail. Some of us going to fail. Because I remember when I was in Virginia, and when my license pad expired or something like that, it was suspended. And I had to go back to Virginia, and I was like, ma'am, you're going to have to take the test. I was, oh, my God, I got to take the test. And I was young. I was like, I got to take the test. I said, well, do y'all have a book? Can I study a little bit? You look at her. She said, yeah, we have some books. So I'm looking, trying to, oh, my God, read the book. And then the lady came, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. You don't have to, your license was suspended, but we can just reinstate you. You just have to reinstate my fee. But, oh, okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I never let that happen again. Because I'm probably going to have to read the book. Some of us got to go and renew our mind with the word of God. Some of us have to go back and renew our license and read the book or go back and highlight some stuff on that in that book. Go mean go. Stop mean stop. Yield mean yield. It don't mean keep on going. You know what I'm saying? Some of us need to do things the right way. When God said go, he said go. When he said don't do it, he said don't do it. He don't say, well, you might be to do it, but if you do, I might be with you, I might not be with you. It depends on how I feel. No, God don't do that. God said go, or he said stop. He do that, or don't do that. I've called you, I haven't called you. You know, you got to be obedient. Even in the ministry, having the service, having a church, God called you to the ministry, you do what God said. You go, you get your church, and even here, look at our church. It's not filled with a lot of people, but guess what? I can't be worried about that. I'm concerned, but I can't allow that to say, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe we won't call. Maybe go back and relook at this wrong, you know, because maybe we won't call to the ministry. No, you got to keep going. You got to keep on going. You got to continue to teach the word. God will bring the people in. He's going to call them and tell them, come on in. But you got to continue to do what you have been called to do. You can't let people turn you from left to right. If God tells you to go right, you stay right. Don't you turn left. You better stay right. Because God told you to go that way. He knows what's ahead. Because he said, if you go left, you're going to be left behind. So you need to continue to be on right. Stay on the right patches, right way. Righteous, righteous, righteous. Yeah, we're going to get off a little bit and come back in. I love the Olympics. Love the Olympics. Love. This guy was running. He was running. He was trying to. He got off. He got right back on, kept on going. He got the bronze medal. But suppose he had fell off and got this, oh, man, he wouldn't have been able to achieve nothing. We may not always get the gold medal, but you can at least strive to finish the race. You got to finish the race. I know that dream I had. God said, keep going. Finish the race. They may be pulling you back, but if you push and push, God gonna do like this. He gonna pull and you gonna dive on through. Right. But you got to keep going. But if you don't, you push and you give up, God can't pull you if you give up. He want a willing vessel. He wants you to be willing. You got to do something. Oh my God, when you got married, you had to say, I do. If you didn't say I do, ain't nothing gonna happen. You got to say something. God wants us to make a move. And when you make a move, he moves with you. I want you to move. And we move with God. You got to do something. But you can't sit down and let God be put. Come on. You can do. God ain't gonna be doing that. Because guess what? It benefits us to be with God. It benefits us to move with God. It benefits us. It ain't no benefit to God, because God said, I done gave you all you need. I gave you everything you need. All you need to do is practice what I told you to do. Practice what God say. We all know Jesus. When Jesus did, Jesus was doing everything God told him to do. But then he got weak, just a little bit. But then he got himself, not my will. He might have slid, or he was, not my will, but thy will be done. That will be done. He was obedient, he was patient, and he was faithful. He got a little weak, not my will, but that will be done. And because he did that, we can talk to God, no problem. Jesus got weak a little bit, but he got back on. We get weak, but get back up and keep moving. Keep moving. In Psalms 37 and 7 it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. When people get sneaky, they carry out their wicked schemes, they do stuff that's sneaky, don't worry about what they're doing. You be concerned about what you're doing for God. Because people are going to mess up, they're going to be wicked, they're going to be nasty all the time. We don't want them to be that way. We're praying for them, but that's just the way of the world. But you do what you're supposed to do. You stay on the right path of God. You don't worry about what's on your left and what's on your right. You stay ahead of you. And all of us, we need to move with God. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. He is a worthy God. He is an awesome God. He's a magnificent God. There is none like the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you all glad that you are children of God? Aren't you glad to be on his team? Team God that always wins, always crosses the finish line. God is always there. You see people run the 26-mile marathon. Always somebody at the end waiting for the last person to come in. Always. So God is always waiting for the last one of us to come on in. So, but we need to come on in. Don't stop. Because God's still going to be up. He's going to be right there waiting.
The sun come up, the sun go down. The sun come up, the sun go down. God gonna be right there. And guess who on the other side? Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is also there with him. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But don't stop. Be ready to move, God. Don't stop the race. Continue. If you gotta slow down, walk. But don't continue to stop. Move. Let's move. Be ready to move the things of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you.